Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Show you'd endorse.
Paige is singing, of course.
And Mikey loves a woman with teeth like a horse.
And Todd's getting winky blinky because our TV is simply irresistible.
It's so fun. You complete us to completion.
This podcast's irresistible.
I bet these hosts fit right on my face.
Get us on that space
list. And this pod is the reason
this podcast is irresistible.
S-H-O, cause there's a character limit.
Simply irresistible.
Damn, girl. You podcast with that ass?
Thank you for tuning into Romancing the Pod. I'm Paige Wesley.
I'm Mikey Randolph.
And I'm Todd Schlosser. And this week, Mikey made us watch
Simply Irresistible.
Which, that song is not in the movie.
It is not in the movie, but Mikey, I just have to know how you even found out about this movie's existence.
Friends, I watched this movie back in the day.
In the theaters?
No, I don't think it was in the theaters. It was definitely with someone, like a Blockbuster-esque. It was rented or shown to me on DVD by a girl, and I remember watching it and being like, this movie is terrible.
Yeah.
And back then I was like super snobby and couldn't really appreciate the finer points of the romantic comedy genre. and I just hated it. And then I feel like our podcast has kind of gotten off track. I was like, we really need to go down to our roots of like really, really weird romantic comedies that were released in America with a full release in marketing.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I picked it because
Mikey, I'm glad you picked it too.
I was in like a down place. I was like, you know, I was like a solemn, depressed kind of day. I was like, okay, let me watch this movie. And in the first 5 minutes, I was like, this is so ridiculous. I love this. So this is exactly what I needed. When I was like a teenager or like whenever the hell I watched this, I was like, I was such a snob. Like, oh, this movie's so trash. And I want dark and gritty and like serious. And now like 2021, I'm like, I just need like a crab to like set me up with a woman so I can like maybe have like a moment of happiness in my life instead of being miserable and alone every night. Where's the fog and the floating for me? When is it my turn?
Instead of just taking my legitimate advice, you're going to count on a magical crab. You're like, I know Paige said not to date people that bore me, but no, I'm going to listen to a magical crab pulled on a string through this film.
Now, the question I pose for you, that if Paige, a magical crab, appeared in your life, would you listen to him?
You have to, right? Especially because he doesn't have any speaking lines.
No, it's just all eyebrow
acting.
So
you wouldn't listen to him at all.
Here's my favorite part. They legit send down an angel, and then they're like, you know what? Fuck that angel. Just leave the crab.
No, the angel gives her, like, comes from the other side, from where her mom is,
to
give her the crab, and then charges her $60 for it. I was
blown
away by that. I was like, this Bobo Dan Aykroyd's gonna get his 60. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe he charged her for it. I was dying. Oh.
I laughed so hard in the first 10 minutes of this movie. Like, my dog thought something was wrong. I was just laughing out loud over and over.
Mikey, something was wrong.
Something but listen, is very wrong.
But Mikey, I, you know this because I was messaging you both the entire time I was watching it. I loved this movie in a very visceral way because it
I wish
is.
I purchased this. I rented it for $3.99. For like $7, I could have owned this masterpiece.
Yeah.
Mikey, I wish I had bought it too because I would host watching parties of this at my house. Like, it is so good. It has to be seen, but it is truly a terrible film. But it's like just one of those things, God damn it, you got to see. Like, it's so, so bad.
And it feels like it was made in like the 70s or 80s, but it was 99.
Even then, no one would have made this. Even cocaine can't explain this movie away.
It's so weird. It is just so weird.
So, okay, this was the first time seeing this movie, but
same for me.
When Mikey described it last week, I was like, I've never even heard of this. This is fucking bananas. And then I get into the movie, and within the first like 10-15 minutes, I was like, Crab. I have heard How Did This Get Made talk about this movie.
Oh, did they do an episode on this?
They did. I had listened to it without watching the movie, and I was like, oh my God, the anthropomorphic crab that casts spells. I was like, I remembered the crab. But then he charges her $60 for it, and I just screamed in the middle of my house. Full disclosure, we tape these like right after I get out of work.
Yeah.
Most days. And I usually, when I'm just answering emails and stuff, I'll have movies going.
You'll second screen it. I do the same thing while I'm editing. Yeah, I do the same
absolutely.
Thing. Yeah.
So I had somebody grab me right at the end of the day today. And because I'm not in office, if somebody needs to talk to me, even if it's at the end of the day, it's Zoom. And so somebody popped on Zoom as the peaches were like farting out the vanilla fog. And I could not stop laughing. But I'm staring at somebody's face. And the movie is on like mute. I'm just kind of like watching it in the background, but I had to then like quickly turn my camera off because I was laughing so hard and I couldn't let people see me. And it was a whole thing.
Oh my God, Paige.
But yeah, he charges her for, where's he going to use that money? He's an ethereal being. What does $60 mean to him?
What does Bobo Dan Aykroyd want with 60 bucks?
He's going down to Times Square. He's going to catch a sex show and buy a bootleg DVD before he goes back to heaven.
That makes about as much sense as the rest of the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought he would come back. Did y'all think he would come back?
Yes, and he doesn't. He's just a random, like, spirit that inhabits the farmer's market at one point in time and never comes back.
Your mom says hi. What? He might as well just be like, look, up in heaven, I'm fucking your mother. And she says, hi.
I'm your ghost stepdad.
Yeah, your ghost stepdad. I need 60 bucks for a case of beer.
There's that True Blood season with the Panthers where it's like, ghost daddy needs to breathe. And you saying
season.
Ghost dad makes me think about that.
Can I just take a break to point out that I heard the funniest line ever in a True Blood episode the other night?
Oh, because you're making your way through it. I'm so happy.
Yeah, Natalie and I are watching it together. One of the vampires who is, I'm going to say, the worst actor I've ever seen. I don't even know his name in the show.
Ooh, now I'm curious which one it is.
He literally says, somebody needs to get down on my Johnson.
Oh, that guy, he dies pretty soon. Don't worry about
does
it.
He?
Yeah.
Good. Fuck that guy. I couldn't believe it happened. I was like, wow, this is an amazing line of dialogue you spoke into a camera lens. Just like Paige, this is the first time I had seen it. I'm going to be honest with you. For the first like 3 or 4 minutes, I was like, I hate this.
Yeah, same.
I don't want to be doing this. This is fucking terrible. And then you see the crab and it like, you just fall for it, man. You can't not love the crab.
You mean when he crawls up the guy's pants?
I know. I loved it
so much. To give him crabs, duh.
It was.
Also, every time the crab pinches someone, they're like, it bit me. And I'm like, do you not understand crabs?
I know. You stuck your finger in its face. That's what crab gonna do.
Well, but also it didn't bite you. It just pinched you. Like that's you weren't near its mouth.
He legitimately lives on that shelf behind us like a piece of lettuce for like maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah.
He's eating that lettuce. That's how he stays alive.
Oh, actually, by the way, this movie takes place over a week and a half.
What? Is that a real fact?
That is a real thing.
I have two questions. How is that possible? And how do you know that?
Because she says it in the film.
Okay, there's a lot of parts where I kind of didn't pay attention to the dialogue because like
no need,
all of
really.
A sudden it looked like a I didn't really understand how the food worked. I have a lot of questions for you, Paige.
Oh, I have no answers for you, Mikey. I did not take enough psychedelics to make this make sense.
I thought the movie was about when she like had emotions and cooked, that those emotions went into the food. Like when she was sad, everybody felt sad, and when she was happy, everybody felt happy.
I think it kind of is.
That is,
but that might be a different movie, because this is just like they like bite something and they like have an orgasm.
I mean, that's an emotion.
So is she having an orgasm into her food? I don't want to talk about it.
All her food is salty.
But her emotions do go into the food, because that's why you see them like crying later. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But it is just her emotions, Mikey.
The rules of this movie are fast and loose.
Yeah.
Just like everyone who eats those eclairs. Yeah. Oh my God.
But maybe we should just get into this movie, because we got a lot to talk about, clearly.
We do. So the credits are 90s and terrible.
I'll skip the credits. Let's just go to the farmer's market.
Can we get to Bobo Dan Aykroyd and his pet crab, please?
Okay, fine. So Sarah Michelle Gellar walks across the street. Someone throws her a fucking apple, which she doesn't have to pay for differently than the crabs later. And she's walking and like talking to all the people at the farmer's market. They're like, heard your business is closing, wah, wah. And she's like sad about it, because apparently everyone in the farmer's market knows her business.
And that business is shitty. Like, it's not going well, clearly.
Well, because her stepdad ghost has been there for 3 hours drinking beer, telling everybody her business. She's sitting there like, I'm a step ghost. I'm banging her mom ghost up in heaven, but I'm waiting for her. She's like, got brown hair. Like, her business is going to close, but, like, I got these crabs I'm going to give her.
She's my stepdaughter. I can give her the crabs. Yes.
But she's going to pay for them. I don't just give it away for free. She's got to work for it. Make her own way in the world. So she's asking about the portobello mushrooms. Somebody else already bought them. And the creepy crab man.
Bobo Dan Aykroyd,
who's holding a bucket of crabs. She like looks and sees that the competing restaurant, we will find out that restaurant is called Jonathan's, that they've already bought the portobellos. And so as she looks over at them, she sees Tom, who is in a suit and white.
That's his character.
Yeah.
That is all of his character traits. Bobo Dan Aykroyd is like, oh, you've spotted him, which is a real weird fucking thing to say to somebody. And she's just like, what? Who are you talking to? And he's just like, take these crabs. You must take these crabs. It's the key. It's your destiny. And she's just like, what? And he's like, your mother told me to give you these crabs. And she's just like, my mom's dead. And he's like, I know.
He has to have killed her mother. Like, there's no reason.
With a crab.
But like, that is what that is telegraphing to me as a new viewer to this program. You know what I'm saying?
All it's missing is a line that says, how did you know she was allergic to shellfish?
Oh, did you guys pick up the fact that her name is Shelton and that the crab is a shell crustacean? So like she is one with the crab.
With the crab.
My headcanon is that crab is her mother.
It's the inspiration crab instead of the intimidation crab. Wait, do you think the crab is her mother?
I love it.
The crab is her mom?
That's my headcanon, yeah.
I'm going to call it Mama Crab from now on, because we don't know what gender it is.
That is not canon in this episode, Mama Crab. And she still can be the inspiration crab, Paige.
Yeah, she's the inspiration crab.
Yeah.
But it costs her $60.
Well, she gets to kill a bunch of other crabs. Like, that one's her mom, but all of the other crabs do get eaten later that day.
Right. But he charges her $60 for the crab, and she's like, I don't even really want these, but okay. And then he disappears.
Well, yeah, once you swindle somebody, once your con is complete, you duck out and never show your face again.
Right.
I've seen The Sting.
But he reappears just to be like, don't let that one get away, because there's a crab on a string being dragged Night of the Creep style up a guy's pant leg.
Oh my God. And if that is Mama Crab, the implications of that are terrifying.
You got to check it out, man. That's nothing new.
What was she checking out? She was going to make sure he was circumcised.
She just wanted to make sure he was satisfactory, you know, so they could consummate.
Oh.
A week and a half.
Yeah, a week and a half. I'll talk about it when we get to it, because in my notes, I just have it in all caps because I was just screaming. I like paused the email I was writing and was just like, a week and a half.
This movie feels like a fever dream.
It does. Yes. This movie feels like a dream I had that 10 minutes after I woke up, I would not be able to describe it to you.
Yes. Oh, my God. Anyway, so she gets the crab, but not after it pinches the guy, because it is the intimidation crab, but also the inspiration crab.
Yeah.
It's a meat cut.
It's a meat cut, Mikey.
Yeah. Because the crab cut him.
Anyway, so she's like, give me that crab. It's going to be lunch in my restaurant. Ha ha ha. Okay. Bye. Because, like, their interaction's so weird.
They do have, like, a little meat cut here. Yeah.
They have a dialogue. It's weird. They have no chemistry.
You don't think that SMG and that dude, whose name I can't remember, don't have chemistry, Mikey?
Uh-huh.
Holy shit. That's Sean Patrick Flannery.
Is it really?
I just looked it up. That's Boondock Saint. Mikey, that motherfucker's a Boondock Saint, and it came out this same year. What if you were going to the theater with your girlfriend? And you're like, listen, babe, it's fine. I love this dude in Boondock Saints. He only does amazing movies. Let's go see his rom-com. That's great. And this is what you sat through.
What a double feature that is.
Yeah. I think we should do Boondock Saints next week. Yeah. literally the same year. Boondock Saints and this were both 99.
Oh, my goodness.
I think he had a downward spiral after this, too.
I don't know, man. He's still working.
We're getting off track.
We're getting off track, but he did have a downward spiral down to the ocean floor. Anyway, she's like, I gotta go make crab lunch. Bye. And leaves. We cut to her restaurant where we meet her regulars. We find out she has like three regulars total in this restaurant. Yes. And a sous chef and her aunt. And she basically mentions that people at the market were talking about them closing. And her aunt is just like, yeah, the landlord raised the rent to $5,000 a month. We can't make it. And the bank won't give us a loan. I'm sorry. And she's like, well, we've been here for 70 years. It was my mom's restaurant, which is a problem because
her mom has to have been like 90 years old.
Yeah.
It could have been her grandmother's restaurant too.
I'm going to pepper in a fun fact for you here.
Oh, okay.
This script was originally written for a middle-aged woman.
Okay. That is not at all surprising. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it written for a middle-aged woman to appear on a Nickelodeon show?
It does kind of feel like a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah. It has a Nickelodeon vibe.
I have some notes on that at the end. So it was originally a middle-aged woman, which means she would have been like 50. And so for the restaurant to have been there for 70 years makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it does.
But it does not make, they did not change. Essentially, they didn't change anything about the story. They just cast Sarah Michelle Gellar.
But I mean, honestly, like that is such like a minute issue to have to change. Like if they're not going to address the peach farts, why would they address that? One thing, right?
The peach farts don't need to be addressed, first off.
They do.
There are more peaches that fart than you fart.
Yeah, yeah.
Full stop. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with peach farts. I'm from Georgia. It's a very natural phenomenon.
Is that why you don't fart? You left all your farts in Georgia for the peaches?
I left all my farts in Georgia.
Paige just sent us a DM that says, how often do your peaches fart? The thing is, they can only do it once.
Yeah. I got distracted earlier because I sent you guys the photo of the Amazon page for this movie.
Yes.
First of all, I want to note that this movie has 4.5 stars.
Yes, with like 4,000 reviews.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, with a ton of reviews. Secondly, I need you to note the first genre that is tied to this film.
Science fiction?
Science fiction.
Wow.
Amazon considers this film science fiction. I watched the Vin Diesel movie Bloodshot the other day, and this is in the same category.
Oh my.
Can I just read the first sentence?
Sure.
Magic and laughter are the main ingredients in this simply irresistible love story. No.
Simply irresistible.
Okay, did you guys wait for that song to pop up every scene?
Yeah.
And just like her stepdad, he never comes back, never happens, it never arrives.
I love that you've created this story in your head that is her stepdad being like, I got crabs for you. There's nothing established about any sort of step parent in this film.
Why wouldn't her mom come and give her the crabs?
Mikey, why is there a sentient crab at all? Like, before we get to who's gifting the crabs, why are they even there?
But it can't be the mom giving the crabs because the mom is
they're
the
sexually
crab.
Transmitted. Got
no.
it.
No.
Oh, no.
Mom is crab. Mom is crab.
Yeah, okay. So you think it's mama crab. You're
it's
solidly
gotta be mama
in,
crab, right?
It's gotta be mama crab.
Yeah.
But it wears a tuxedo, not a dress.
But it doesn't matter. People can present their sexuality however they feel. But also
now, but not in 1999.
It doesn't matter. She's an anthropomorphized fucking crab.
The fact that they thought to gender it by putting it in a tuxedo is bonkers to me.
The fact that there is a sentient crab in the movie at all is bonkers.
That's the one part that checked out for me, actually.
I just love the eclair sex.
Here's what's really crazy. I don't think they have sex in that scene with the fog because they don't reference it.
I'm talking about their friends.
Oh, yeah. Their friends definitely boned it down with those eclairs.
Yeah, they did.
Good for you, Patricia Clarkson.
I love her.
Who we saw in Just Friends, right?
No, not Just Friends. The one with Justin Timberlake.
Friends with Benefits.
Friends with
Benefits. Yeah, Friends with Benefits. Sorry, that's the one I was thinking of, but not the one I said. Just Friends is Ryan Reynolds. My apologies. Yeah.
She's always fun. She's great in Easy A, too.
I mean, she's honestly great in this.
I also, this shouldn't have bothered me as much as it did, but multiple people say the old proverb of, and the way they say it is, when the wind of one door closing opens another door. And I'm like, that's not it. It's when God closes a door, he opens a window. Like, that's how I've always heard it. And it's the most simple version of that phrase. But yeah, it's this whole like when the wind of one door connects with the train traveling 400 miles an hour to Chicago, what time will it open a door?
When God sends a mule to close your window, the crab opens the other door.
When God's crustacean clatters across the pants of your lover, the wind from that ejaculation opens the window of opportunity. This movie is so fucking nuts.
And this is a real movie. This is a theatrical release. This isn't a Netflix movie or anything. This is a real movie that came out and was big. It was big in 99.
Okay, Mikey, it was not big in 99, but it had some big people in it. Sean Patrick Flannery was in Boondock Saints this same year. Sarah Michelle Gellar, this is like her heyday. Like late 90s, early 2000s.
I had three people DM me, like, I love that movie.
This was like a year after Cruel Intentions.
Yeah. If you look at SMG's career around this time, like she had in 97, I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scream 2, and then 99, she had She's All That, Cruel Intentions, and Simply Irresistible. That was the three movies in 99 for her.
She's barely in She's All That.
Well, okay, yeah. But Cruel Intentions came out this same year.
Oh, God.
Imagine going to see Cruel Intentions and then you're like, hey, you know what I want to see? That really sexy girl from Cruel Intentions in another rom-com with the dude from Boondock Saints. It's going to be a hit.
She's very pretty and charming in this movie.
Well, yes. Yes, she is. But they've dressed her like a teenage girl who buys all of her accessories from Claire's 10 for 10. And I will not be told otherwise.
But in this movie, to make the math work, she's 40 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, we're about to get there. But the one scene where like her sous chef is comparing her to Amanda Bee. And I'm like, she's still Sarah Michelle Gellar and like super hot.
Yeah.
Sorry that she wears patterns.
It's a lot. It's not just the patterns. It's a lot of clashing patterns. It's a lot. I don't know. Anyway, so we cut to Henri Bendel, the department store in New York. And they do film in the real store.
Oh, that's a real place?
Yeah, it's a real place.
I didn't know it was a real store. I thought they might have made it up. Okay.
No, very, very famous, very real. And I don't know. I'm sure this happened all over the country, but growing up, there were 5-star restaurants in department stores. Like, it wasn't a new thing. Like, Nordstrom specifically, a couple of the Nordstroms locally had, like, a really nice restaurant in it.
Yeah, we have restaurants in our malls here, too. I get it. Like, it's fine. There's a Cheesecake Factory in the mall, Paige. I get it.
No, I mean, like, standalone
like
store.
Like a Macy's, yeah.
That's so weird. That is so weird.
Nordstrom still has restaurants. Restoration Hardware has a restaurant in it.
Really? I've never been to a restaurant in a Restoration Hardware, but we do.
That's where you can buy a couch for like $15,000 instead of like $3,000.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Restoration Hardware shit. I just can't afford any of it.
Yeah. The Macy's in Union Square, the like top floor was like a really fancy restaurant for a long time. And then they had like a food court on the bottom floor. It was like a big deal.
And they only serve animals that are also featured in their Thanksgiving parade. So you've got like Snoopy. You've got like
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, you
kill one Snoopy and you feed the restaurant for the next year until we capture the next giant inflatable Snoopy.
You have no idea how hard it is to find a giant inflatable Snoopy in the wild.
I mean, they're hard to catch. They just float around. Hard to catch. But the Nordstrom's by our house had a super nice cafe in it. And my aunt used to get like catering from there and stuff. So like, I think it's a little weird in this movie that they're like a restaurant in a department store. I'm just like, that seems pretty normal
to
me.
That is like the one thing in this movie I thought was normal. And you're telling me that that was crazy. And that is blowing my mind.
Wait, you think it was normal for them to think it was weird?
Yes. That is the one thing I thought was normal about this movie.
No,
You have just turned my world upside down, Paige.
Well, you've been to Herod's, right?
What? The king of Jerusalem when Jesus was born?
You did not go to Herod's when you went to the UK?
No, I don't know what are you saying right now? I have no idea what's happening right now.
No, he did basic touristy bullshit.
Herod's is basic touristy bullshit.
That's why I didn't
do
it, Paige.
They have a cheese floor. They have a cheese floor, Todd, and a charcuterie.
Well, now I want to go back.
They have a charcuterie department.
Who would make a whole floor out of cheese? It would just step on it and get it dirty.
Especially with my feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't let him in. He'll melt the floors.
Hey, who doesn't love a good melted cheese?
All I'm saying is super fancy department stores almost always have a restaurant or some sort of food counter or something in them.
Paige, I've been poor my entire life. These are things I never knew.
You can walk into places for free anyway.
Not when you look like I do, baby.
Yeah, because they saw your feet. You got no shirt, no shoes, no service.
No shoes, no shirt, no monster feet, no service.
Anyway, so I thought it was strange that everyone was just like, a restaurant. Now, it is weird that it's like a $4 million 75-seat restaurant, because that's like a ridiculous high-end nonsense restaurant. And also, the restaurant in this movie looks like the inside of the rival department store from Mannequin.
Yes, it does.
It does.
Yes,
where it's really
just
does.
All mirrors and craziness.
Also, you could fit another 175 tables if you got rid of the huge fuck-off dance floor in the restaurant.
Well, the dance floor that would make you dizzy to stand
I know,
it.
Right?
It definitely looks like a restaurant from like a Tim Burton movie.
Yes, I was like, who designed this restaurant?
The Penguin designed it.
The Penguin
It was Gotham. It. They just bought this restaurant. They're like, oh my God, this lair is fantastic space for a restaurant.
This, I mean, it looks like the set of a Prince music video with the fog and the doves and the mirrors. I was just like,
well, the fog is, it was Mr. Freeze's hideout.
Ooh, ice to meet you. Yeah.
I just want someone to ask him how he's doing and then he could be like, peachy.
Because of the peach farts, which we're calling them peach farts. And I'm sure people are listening to us being like, they don't actually have peaches farting in this movie.
No, they do.
They fully do. And they fart enchanted vanilla fog.
That make you want to fuck.
You see, when I do fart, it's enchanted vanilla fog. And you want to fuck.
Is that why you space them out so much, Mikey? Uh-huh.
He's got to save them up, Paige.
Yeah. My body can't keep up with that.
He's got to have a refractory period.
My farts are writing checks. My dick can't cash.
How dare you bring Top Gun into this?
Anyway, we cut up to his office because we're kind of following Tom, the guy she met at the farmer's market.
Right.
And his assistant, Patricia Clarkson, is like, hey, there's a skinny girl making herself at home in your office. And we reveal that it's Amanda Peet, who is in this movie for 2 whole minutes. And she has uploaded her schedule to his schedule.
After date 3.
After
that
date
is
3.
So bonkers to me. I can't imagine syncing my calendar with anyone. I don't even know how to do that.
I know, Mikey. We've tried so we can know when you're available to record. This is a conversation we have had multiple times. You beautiful idiot.
I like it because like all of her stuff is flashing pink.
Yeah.
It's red. Yeah. She put it in flashing red. And so here's the thing. It's crazy that she did this after date three. But what's even crazier is his cost benefit analysis charts about how relationships go after date four. And I was just like, this is toxic and dysfunctional. But also, he made so many graphs.
What are you talking about? That was all true.
It is not true. I did like how Patricia Clarkson was like, you should ask yourself what you're doing to make the fourth date so terrible.
Yeah,
I was
well, like, he should be doing pre and post surveys on the women he dates to really get the research.
Yeah, he's got to get some NPS results for his dating surveys, right?
NPS results?
How likely are you to recommend me to a roommate or colleague?
Oh, I've got a net detractor score of 10.
His methods are flawed.
His methods are flawed.
I would love to see Mikey's net detractor score.
And net promoter score and then the neutral score. We need to really take a look at these KPIs to get to the bottom of your productivity issue with dating.
I mean, honestly, some of these verbatims are terrible. Like one of them literally just says, left an obituary on the pillow next to me and wanted me to believe he was a dead man from the 1860s.
Mikey, what's your churn rate?
Baby, I churn it till it gets done. You know what I'm saying?
Anyway, so this is madness.
Yeah, this episode and the movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then we cut back to the kitchen and the restaurant where she is trying to do something, I guess, with the crab. I'm not sure. It just looks like brown water. And she's trying to get the sous chef to taste it. And they're like, no, it tastes like blue cheese and dirt. But the only thing worse than blue cheese and dirt is rum raisin. And I was like, I love blue cheese.
Rum raisin is not that bad either. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not a fan of rum raisin, but dirt. No, thank you.
I've eaten dirt. It's not my favorite. Paige's face was amazing.
Oh. I just expected there to be more to your review than nope. That just that you were like, I ate dirt, somebody shoved it in my mouth and it was terrible, but instead you're just like, no, I did it once, don't recommend
three
it.
Types of people out there: blue cheese, rum raisin, and dirt.
Paige, it's much worse than that. When I was a baby and I could walk, my parents let me go out to the garden and I started eating dirt. And instead of stopping me, they literally got a camera and just took like 30 pictures of me eating dirt.
Well, yeah, with your little nasty feet, I'm sure you look like a little groundhog burrowing into your
I wasn't home. Eating with my feet. I was eating with my hands, you monster.
Well, you could have fooled us with the way you got finger looking toes on those things.
I have beautiful hands.
That's usually an indication of pica, like you don't have the nutrients you need and you're trying to get them from the dirt. Mm-hmm.
And I certainly did pica chew up some dirt, so yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyways, all of her regulars at the restaurant are old and they're not there for the food. They're just there because they like her, I guess, question mark, or they liked her mom.
Yeah, they're probably locals from the area that knew her mom, and her mom actually yeah. was a good cook.
It was a bunch of dudes her mom used to fuck.
One of them's her dad. We could solve this with a pregnancy test, but instead we're going to an island in Greece so we can sing about it for an hour and a half.
Mama mia.
Anyway, she's really sad about them closing and is like, you deserve a Southern Cross like it used to be when mom was here, and I'm not my mom and I'm sorry. Meanwhile, Tom and his creepy girlfriend Amanda Pete are in a taxi going to Chanterelle. That's the restaurant they think they're going to, but instead her evil crab man stepdad is the taxi driver and just drops them off at her restaurant.
Yes.
And he's planning to break up with her at lunch.
Right.
Yeah, he does mention that to his... Is Clarkson his assistant?
I think so. For okay. a while, I thought she was his mom. And that was real confusing.
Well, I mean, she is older. And there's... Like, I understand why you might have thought that.
Yeah,
but right. I think she's just like someone who works at that department store too.
Right. So... Sarah Michelle Gellar is outside crying because she just had to tell everyone that they were closing the restaurant. And he spots her and is like, hey, from this morning, make me that crab that bit me.
I deserve
which
it.
Which is a very vengeful lunch.
Yeah.
And she does not because that crab is her mother.
That crab, I don't know how, but got on that top shelf. Actually, I know how. The person holding the fishing line that you could very clearly see in this movie just lifted it up there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So she... seats him in the restaurant, goes back to the kitchen, and she's like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but might as well. And so she literally, almost without looking, manages to somehow conjure a crab souffle. Or like crab Napoleon is what she technically makes, but it does not look like crab at all. It it definitely looks like salmon. It's yeah, very strange.
There's nothing that looks like crab in that whole dish.
In that whole dish. It does look like a Napoleon, but yeah. Anyway, she goes to try and find a recipe, doesn't. She finds her mom's earrings. She comes back and she just says to the sous chef, bring me everything we have. And then she just kind of looks down at the plate and it appears. Meanwhile, out in the main room of the restaurant, they have a martini machine. Which I thought was pretty great.
I thought it was pretty great, too. I love when her aunt walks up and offers a martini to Amanda Pete and Boondock Saint. And they're like, no. And she's like, cool. And she starts drinking it.
And then
it.
Just drinks it middle of the day.
Yeah, I love it.
Love her energy.
She's got some real madman energy.
She's about to have madman energy.
Yeah, because she brings their dishes out. And Amanda Pete eats the food and is immediately like, I'm going to break up with you. This is nonsense. I don't like you. She rubs mashed potatoes on his face. And then she breaks like every plate in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Yes. While he orgasms at his table.
While he orgasms, he's like, oh my God, crab. And she's just like throwing plates. It's a bonker scene.
I love the reaction shot of the other patrons like dodging.
Who are just plate hiding.
Yes. Yeah, they're dodging plate shrapnel. It's hilarious.
Well, and we find out later that they pull two shards of plate out of the wall from behind a guest. So like they very nearly missed it.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, he's over there just like, crab, I'll pay you for the plates.
Oh, and then he goes, I'll pay you for the meal, too. I'm like, you didn't bring money?
And then he gets up and leaves.
No, he actually paid her for the meal because you hear him put cash down on the table, but he's going to pay for the plates.
Right. So he gets back to his office and Patricia Clarkson is like, what happened? And he's like, I had an incredible lunch. I got dumped, but I don't even feel bad about it because I definitely was balls deep in some crap.
He definitely filled his pants full of semen. Like, there's no way he was not blowing loads. I'm going to cut all of that. That's so gross. But he was.
Keep it. Keep it.
He was. Cuts,
I think you mean tartar sauce.
Yeah, there's a lot of tartar sauce in them jeans.
Yeah, full of tartar sauce.
And honestly, that tartar sauce also full of jeans.
Yeah, oh, there you
okay.
go.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I like anyway, that. So he meets up with some of the people working on the restaurant, one of them being Henri Bendel's grandson, who is like, I don't really cotton to your choices about this restaurant and the floor. And he is still somehow kind of talking about the crap, but then is just like, it's going to be great. And Patricia Clarkson steps in and is like, it'll be great. You'll be immortal, because she's kind of found out that that's what the grandson's into. And he's like, thank you. I like you, Lois. You're like a man. You think with your nuts. And I'm just like, who wrote this?
I mean, that is a line of dialogue that Judith Roberts wrote when she wrote this movie.
Fun fact about Judith Roberts. Do you know who she's married to?
Of course not.
The director of this film.
Hey, do you want to know what else she's written?
Yes.
Not a damn thing.
It's because she accidentally cooked her mother crab that was helping her with the scripts.
She's like, this is the script I've been working on for 10 years.
Oh my God, if somebody worked on this for 10 years. Anyway, so we cut back to the restaurant. They're kind of closing up for the night, and Sarah Michelle Gellar is going to like test out her newfound cooking abilities, and she decides to make a bunch of eclairs. And as we cut to the next day, she's been up almost all night, it seems, making eclairs. Her sous chef brings in the groceries for the day, but he's only got
I guess masturbating while she makes the eclairs, because they're just orgasmic eclairs.
I think maybe she was having sexual thoughts, not necessarily flicking the bean, but you know, I don't know how you make eclairs, so it could have been.
I don't know about the magic rules of this movie. I mean, she cries into that fig thing later, which makes people cry, and then when people eat these eclairs, they cream their pants. And so maybe that's what we're not seeing. Maybe that's what only the crab can see.
And really, that's why people who are in food prep should wash their hands.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But what struck me is that her sous chef comes back with like two bags of groceries for the whole day.
Yeah, they only make three meals a day, Paige. Oh, that's two is I was excessive.
Like,
they,
well, I was like, how could you support a menu? Like,
no, like, I mean, they only have three patrons a day.
No, I understand. So I was like, okay, so they don't even have enough plates, and then they don't have enough, like, food? Like, this is not, this, they basically are coming over to her house.
Surprise, Paige. Food. This restaurant might be closing.
Maybe. Anyway, so she decides that she's going to take some eclairs uptown and go get them their new plates. And she's picking out an outfit and she's kind of running them by her sous chef. And he tells her, like, guys only think about sex. They think about sex 238 times a day, all day. And you can tell when they're like touching their belts that they're thinking about sex. Right? And I'm like, this is all nonsense.
Yeah. None of that makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's way more times a day.
Yeah, and I wear a belt, and I never touch that shit.
Yeah.
I just touch my dick. I'm sorry.
No, it really gets in the way of me making eclairs. So we cut to her. She chooses like a kind of pink spaghetti strap thing, but then pairs it with a coat that does not match the colors in her dress and has its own print. I was just like,
she looks like a Lisa Frank trapper keeper with a spaghetti strap.
No, that's too bright. She looks like the discard pile at Goodwill, but like just like stuff that doesn't, that shouldn't go together, but they're just like, this is coat and this is dress, so good luck. And people comment on it in the movie too, which I think is really funny.
Yeah, she makes some strong incorrect choices.
Right. So she walks through the down the street and into the store, and she sees like every guy adjusting their belt, which is nonsense. She ends up knocking over an entire display. But Tom sees and he gets Ramos, his store associate, to basically fix it.
Yeah. Every time you see Ramos, he is literally just picking stuff up and like organizing it for display purposes. Right.
Yeah. He's a merchandising manager, most likely. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
And what really kind of boggled my mind is that she cannot hold an adult conversation.
No.
In this scene at all. She can't form sentences, nothing. But she finally gets out that she's there to pick out plates. But she only picks out 8 plates in 3 different styles, which is 24 plates total for an entire restaurant.
Now, okay, the movie doesn't go into this, but the other lady that's at the restaurant with her,
her aunt. Yeah.
Is that her caretaker?
It's her aunt.
So, yes. It's her next of kin. Yeah.
Yeah, it is her next of kin. And none of the plates match. But when we cut back to the restaurant and they're serving things later in the movie, they're all just white service plates. So it's none of the plates that she's chosen.
So when he says, I'm going to pack these up for you and send them on to you, he doesn't do that.
I mean, I think it doesn't matter because it wouldn't be enough plates anyway. And she only picked out dinner plates. So like if you were an actual restaurant, you'd have like dinner, salad, appetizer plates, serving, like, you know, actual serving vessels. Uh-huh. If you were serving mm-hmm. King's Family style, and the amount of tables that she has in that restaurant means that 24 isn't even going to, like, if she used every single plate she had, it still would not cover the amount of chairs in that restaurant. It's baffling.
Yeah. And that restaurant is god awful ugly.
I mean, I don't hate the blue, but it's a look. It's a lot of look. And there's nothing appealing about it from the outside. So
apparently taking big swings on color arrangement was like her family's thing, because she dresses like that and her restaurant's bonkers too.
Yeah, because he's like, that's a bold selection. It explains your outfits.
Yeah.
And then she asks if he wears a belt and he's like, no, why? And then she just flat out tells
because my friend said men think about men think about sex 384 times a day.
238. It comes out to every 4 minutes. And then he's like, yeah, that sounds about right, actually.
And then she goes, I've been here 20 minutes. And he's like, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, that's about right. And reveals that he plays with his suspenders instead of a belt, which is bonkers.
I tell you what we weren't able to do was suspender my disbelief about this movie.
There's no way Mikey didn't write that joke, and I loved everything about that.
This is also where we find out about his weird obsession with paper planes, which is just a weird inclusion in this movie that makes no sense.
I love MIA's Paper Planes. It's a great song.
You got the sound of cash registers in it and gunshots. Yeah. It fits in really well with this movie.
It does.
But it's also not in this movie. No actual songs.
Planes are actually in this movie.
I just remember listening to the soundtrack, which was like vague keyboard music. And I was like, they have no songs in this movie.
It's honestly, it feels like they wrote someone who was almost a songwriter to write songs specifically for this movie.
Yeah. Anyway, so he throws his paper plane. It gets stuck in a lady's hair and they head out. He's like escorting her out of the store and she hands him the box of eclairs and he eats one and literally climbs into the elevator with her and is just like, oh my God, these are amazing. Have you met Brian? Brian's in shoes. I love shoes. I love that we sell them in twos. It's like a Noah's Ark thing. And I'm like, it's because people have 2 feet.
Yeah, there's nothing not bonkers about that whole scene. But I want to point out, when she walks in on the ground floor and walks into Ramos's display, that's on the ground floor. They then go up an elevator, right?
Yep.
Pick out plates and then walk back past Ramos, who
to get to the elevator
to get back to. And he's at that same display to get back to the elevator that they then get on. So like they don't even know what floor they're on in this movie. Like the directing is terrible.
Here's what's amazing. At the end of the movie, there's like a scene where they kind of like cat and mouse it and they're both in the store trying to leave and they don't see each other.
I know what you're going to bring up. And I
love it. They travel the same path. Like there's no way they could not have seen each other.
There literally is a shot of him cut to a shot of her at the same door and they're only one of them is there at a time, but it cuts from one immediately to the other. And like what is happening?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Oh, don't skip ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
We have to cover all of the crab, wall-to-wall crab madness in this episode. So he's like getting rock hard over the eclairs and is like, I got to show you my restaurant.
He's like, I want to show you my restaurant. Just come with me.
Because
they talk like they're masturbating maybe half the movie.
Yeah. So he takes you through the restaurant and we walk through the kitchen where his current chef is having like a truffle shaving ceremony.
Yeah.
Which is really weird. So here's the crazy thing about this restaurant. There's a door to the restaurant that's kind of like a brass filigree and glass that looks straight out of a Cheesecake Factory. And then the rest of it is a mirror nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know why both of those are in the same place, but they are. But he says, these eclairs shoot down your spine and into your feet. And I'm like, what is in these eclairs?
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About something completely different.
Yeah. They end up dancing and having a shared hallucination about the restaurant that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
In front of like the bankers who were there to talk about the restaurant.
It cuts to them fully on dancing. Like they have a whole dance scene with like a live band behind them in the finished restaurant.
I think she's just putting LSD into the food.
I was like, is this like an ergot thing? Like an ergotamine kind of baking issue? Like, are we going to have a witch trial? What's happening?
Yeah.
He does accuse her of being a witch and might want to burn her at some point in the film.
If the broom fits, Mikey, write it.
If the broom fits, write it.
That's a line of dialogue that good Judith wrote.
That's my Halloween pickup line.
By the way, this is my broom. I call it my broomstick.
This is my Nimbus 6.5.
It's real quick.
Ain't no snitches here.
You should see the bludgers on that thing.
And it can go through every one of your 3 rings.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Including the Nuva ring.
I love this movie so much. I can't not like it.
20 minutes in, I was like, this is perfect.
I was in the middle of a Witcher rewatch because we talked about maybe talking about the Witcher on bonus episodes.
Oh, hell yes.
Nothing on the Witcher is as weird as this movie. Like, there's a genie in that. This was weird. Oh my God, that crab is a genie.
I think this is like what happened to the witch that Hansel and Gretel killed. Like, it's like one of those kind of witches, you know?
Ooh, a baking witch, a kitchen witch, yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot to explain.
And yet none of it is. Nothing in this movie is explained. Anyway, so he has to go meet with all of the financing people for the restaurant. And he's like, I'll call you. And so she goes home. She walks past Tiffany's and she sets up a new menu and starts cooking new food at the restaurant. It seems to be going really well. And it kind of gets progressively more and more crowded. And he's like daydreaming about her, but hasn't called her.
Right.
And then he gets called into the grandson's office where he's like, I had a dream and I wanted to tell you about it. I was in a tuxedo and I could see my grandfather's face in the shoes sticking his tongue out. What do you think about that? What do you think about it? It's just like,
I was like, this is crazy that your boss would come in and be like, hey, let me tell you about this dream I had. I want you to tell me what it means. Like, what are we doing here?
You're like, okay, Daniel, I've got a lion's den with your name on it.
Like, there is nothing wrong if, like, let's say you supervise a crisis team and you go in asking them to analyze your dreams from the night before. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it's the same energy as someone who wakes up and is like, I dreamt that you cheated on me and now I'm mad at you in real life.
That's what it felt like exactly, Paige. Yeah.
I hate being victim to that, which I have been twice.
You should stop dream cheating on people.
Yeah.
I can't help it. In my dreams, I'm a ghost stepdad.
And Malin Ackerman needs some crabs.
That's right.
Mikey just can't wait to give you crabs, ladies.
Mikey has crabs. No!
But it's going to cost you $60 to get them.
Yeah. They're elite crabs.
$60 is the price of a video game.
Thank you, random fact generator, Mikey.
So that's what I charge for, you know,
crabs. You could say it, Mikey.
I'm going to give this lady some crabs and get me some Cyberpunk 2077.
A game that came out last year, but is finally ready for release.
Oh, yeah, truth. Anyway, we cut to the kitchen where she's like, he said he'd call. And we're also finding out that they're so busy, they might have to hire someone because Aunt Stella can't keep up because, like, drinky.
Because she loves that open martini bar.
And it's from a bottle. And I'm like, how many bottles do you think they go through a day in that thing?
With just the aunt, 5 or 6.
Yeah, 5 or 6.
They probably water it down since they're not doing well.
That's true. So we cut back to the department store where Patricia Clarkson's like, I heard a juicy rumor that you were fucking somebody in the restaurant. He's like, we were just dancing. And she was like, dancing? Ooh.
Ooh la la.
I mean, that's what anybody would say.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what I would say if Mikey said, we were just dancing.
I'd be like, horizontally?
Eek, Barbara Durkel.
I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, I said ooh la la earlier, so when you changed it up a little bit, I went to the other Rick and Morty reference I could make.
So he's telling Patricia Clarkson about her, and just as he's about to say her name, she calls. And she invites him to eat dinner at the restaurant, and he's like, well, I've got a dinner meeting that starts at 8, but maybe I can stop by after. And we see on his calendar that he's got nothing there.
Yeah, because he's a dick.
I don't understand why he didn't just go have dinner with her.
Me either. It makes no sense.
You mean this man who breaks up with everyone after the third date, you're surprised he doesn't want to go to dinner with her tonight?
You mean this Mikey who has commitment issues?
Mikey worked through his commitment issues, as we have learned in past episodes.
I don't know that he did.
No, I think Mikey has. I think Mikey has grown.
I have grown.
6.5 inches.
Yeah. I'm looking for my whore, Chris.
This is always a danger when we start talking about Harry Potter, that we're going to turn things from like a child's school into sexual things.
I didn't bring it up. You did.
Actually,
he didn't. I did.
I don't think I did.
Sexual Harry Potter puns. Now we're in my wheelhouse.
That's how I get them.
Oh, tell me more about your Deathly Hallows tattoo. Yes, I have been dating.
Oh, no.
You love pumpkin spice lattes and you have a Deathly Hallows tattoo? How unique.
How 5'6" and blonde of you.
I love your big hat and Ugg boots.
Where'd you get that sweater? Mod cloth? Good.
Oh, you're basic.
Hey, get tattoos of whatever you want.
Yeah.
More power to you. I'm just saying, you know, a lot of people with similar traits got the same tattoo.
I have a pretty unique tattoo.
Yeah.
It just says live, laugh, love.
I'm just on your chest. And the other one just says, like, eat it, Joe. And then across one butt cheek, it just says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord.
See, I've got live and love on my knuckles and laugh on my dick.
If you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to introduce you to live and laugh.
You play your cards right, you might see some love.
I think we got that backwards, though, because laugh is his dick.
Yeah, live and love are on the knuckle.
Yeah.
So I just said, I'll punch you and give you my dick. And then you were like, yeah, but if you act right, I'll punch you. Yeah. We fucked that all up.
Why does your dick just say law?
Because I'm a grower, not a shower.
Anyway, so as he's about to say her name, she calls. She invites him to dinner. He doesn't have anything going, but he's not going to go. We cut back to the restaurant where she's clearly been waiting for him and he didn't show up.
I just got another DM about someone who loves this movie unironically.
What? Does she want to go pick pumpkins and eat lattes?
Eat lattes?
I'm going to pick pumpkins on Saturday and I had a latte today.
I know you fucking are, you basic bitch.
For the record, I did that last Saturday and it was wonderful.
Wow, Paige. I can't believe you don't like pumpkins.
Also, who is that person who DM'd you's caretaker?
Anyway, so the restaurant's packed. Everyone's loving the food. A guy orders his meal all over again, which, like, as much as I love the way something tastes, I couldn't eat it twice in a row.
Oh, me either. That's ridiculous. No, I wouldn't do that. Texas Day Brazil, Texas Day Brazil.
But could you eat it backwards?
If by backwards you mean slowly inserting it up my butt the other direction so they meet in the middle, maybe.
No, but that's what he does. He orders it backwards. He's like, I want to start with dessert this time.
Have I ate two meals sitting down? Yeah, I've been sad.
You know what would go well with this family style mac and cheese from Stouffer's?
A family? Has Uber Eats come and I've yelled at people who don't exist in my home that the food is here? Yeah.
Oh, I've done that.
I'm a man.
Meanwhile, Tom leaves the department store and grabs a plant from inside the store to bring to her. We cut back to the restaurant where they've made a ton of money. It's been a great night.
She said they made 100 dinners.
Which is not that much.
Well, I mean, they're a small restaurant. They have like fucking 8 tables.
No, they've got about 12 tables of at least 2.
Fair enough. Okay.
So that means 5 rounds of whatever they made, which is, for a small restaurant, it's fair, I would say.
It's better than 3 patrons a day.
Yeah, even a small restaurant would be making more than that. But anyway, they don't think he's coming. So her sous chef leaves. But he does show up with flowers and they walk home, which is literally upstairs.
Yeah.
So like it's the door next door to the restaurant. But she ends up taking him back into the restaurant to cook for him. And this is where she reveals that the flowers are vanilla orchid. Now, orchids are usually edible. Not always, but usually. Vanilla orchids are where we get vanilla from, but it's not from the flowers. It's from the seed pods, like the beans. And so, like, the flowers aren't really what you eat, and they don't really taste good or smell good, because most of what we attribute to, like, the smell and taste of vanilla is after the roasting process.
Yeah.
So she's just, like, putting leaves in her shit for no reason. It's not adding any flavor or anything.
I was going to ask you about that, because I thought that was super weird.
It is super weird.
Okay.
I just accepted everything that happened after the first 15 minutes.
It's not poisonous or anything. Like, nobody's going to get hurt by her doing it, but it's not adding anything to what she's doing.
Honestly, the real magic is that didn't taste like shit after she put leaves in it.
And she put a ton of flowers in it, too. And
yeah.
Flowers just straight up, unless they're like very specific flowers, tend to be very bitter, even though they are edible. And so it would honestly have probably ruined the flavor of her creme anglaise. But she starts making something for him. And then we start to get fog out of nowhere.
Well, it's not out of nowhere. It's coming out of the, I'm going to call it a cauldron, because
out of her saucepan. Yeah,
absolutely. But it is like,
that's how you know you're getting a girl going, is when fog comes out of her saucepan.
But that's where it comes from. And then, like, it floats over to Boondock Saint and then back to her, and they fall in bone love.
Is this where they float the first time?
No.
No. But he sucks on multiples of her fingers and then licks her face.
Yeah.
Then we get like mega fog machine, so the whole restaurant fogs up and they kiss and disappear into the fog, but don't have sex.
That we know. Because,
oh, I assume they did.
I assumed they did too, but then the next day she's like, I kissed him. I'm like, where?
Like, his soul.
Be a little more specific. You had like 16 Spirit Halloween's worth of fog in there. Like,
I mean, if that's what her food tastes like, can you imagine what her tastes like?
Yeah.
I mean, probably the same as most people's. There's not a lot of variation, I hear.
But you're not playing into the joke well enough.
So let me introduce you to a concept called yes and.
I can pick and choose what I want to play.
That is absolutely true.
Do you think fog comes out?
Yes. I think the fog was coming from her pussy the entire time. The call is coming from inside the house. And it's because she's secretly middle-aged. And so it's an old, it's like opening an old wine cellar.
There's a methane leak? The restaurant has to be evacuated.
It's just like an old sarcophagus tomb where it's just like there's the big like fog, dust stuff, and then scarabs.
Do you want to be a mummy?
Or a daddy.
God damn you both to hell.
Anyway, so he goes back to the store and he's like, we need more of these orchids everywhere. And they're like, okay, cool.
But you just spent $30,000 on roses.
Yeah. Well, and they find out that the head chef lost his knives and is going to quit because of it, because Air France lost his knives, which is a thing, by the way.
I mean, I'm sure, like, aside from just knives being expensive, like really good knives being really expensive, like good luck charms, he's used those knives a lot. Like, I understand that whole thing.
They may have been custom made for his hands, too. At his level, he probably has absolutely at least one custom.
Yeah.
And custom knives are expensive as shit, man.
Yeah, but like less than the $30,000 of roses that they bought.
Yeah, for sure. I have a pretty extensive knife collection. But the other thing about knives when you're using them at that level is you're specifically picking them for your grip and your weight and your hand balance. So it's not just like go out and buy new knives. It's like a whole replacing your knives is a whole process.
Yeah.
So like, you know, it's a thing. And I'll talk about, because they do replace his knives and he throws the knives at them. And I know what knives they are and I will talk about it later because they did buy him shitty knives. So,
no wonder he quit.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just, when I saw the knives, I was like, they don't know shit. Anyway, meanwhile, she's making eclairs, and it seems like he can smell the eclairs from the store, but it turns out that it's just some of her regulars who had a carryout container full of eclairs, which he like steals from them and takes back to his office where Patricia Clarkson eats it, goes like horny crazy for eclairs.
Yeah.
And he tells her the whole thing of like, we made out in a vanilla cloud and she's amazing. And they're just like, they're literally just like curled up in chairs, just like so horny they can't function, talking about eclairs.
I love eclairs.
It is so wild.
Because they're literally just like fetal position, like, oh, crabs and eclairs. Like, oh, when your hair is also a hood. Like, it's just that craziness.
I want to turn someone on as much as these eclairs turn these people on.
Yeah, I will never turn someone on as much as one of these eclairs does.
Those eclairs look like 7 to 8 inches, so I think you might have an uphill battle on that one.
Well, what if they have like a shallow mouth?
And they'd have to take bites.
My eclair's more girthy, though.
It's just a donut.
There's not a hole in it, though.
You never had a filled donut?
I can't say that I have, Paige.
You've never had like a jelly donut?
Like a jelly donut or like a Boston cream pie donut?
What about like a regular icing donut?
Okay, what about like, they're kind of like a beignet, but then just like filled with jizz.
It's a beignet.
That's going to be a beignet for me, dog. So, and he keeps referencing the fog, and I was like, are pirates going to come out of it? No.
You guys remember that movie we did?
Yeah, I remember. Anyway, so he goes off to meet with the people who are financing the restaurant. Patricia Clarkson calls the restaurant and orders as many eclairs as she can carry and meets the grandson in the elevator, and they have like 50 shades level elevator sex that we do not get to see.
Yeah.
Upsetting. We don't get a single frame of eclair neck.
Holy shit. I can just see like a close up of his like waist, him pulling his pants down, but it's just like an eclair.
It's just an eclair.
That would fit in with this movie.
I'd be like, man, that LSD is kicking in. Anyway, so we cut to the restaurant. Tom shows up. They're super busy, so he helps them wait tables. But this is where we see that the plates are now just regular plates. And even some of her regulars are waiting tables now. Like, it's a whole operation. And we cut to the end of the night where this is where she says, up until last week, I couldn't cook anything.
Yeah.
So it's literally only been 2 weeks maximum. It's like a week and a half.
That's wild, man.
Isn't it wild?
Like how?
Magic, dude. It's magic. That ghost stepdad gave her crabs or whatever, and now she's
magical crabs. Like,
just fucking move along, Todd.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Well, and she says in this scene, she's like, I don't think he's your normal crab. And I was like, so she's identified it's the crab.
Yeah, they all know. They bring the crab with them to places.
They do. It becomes a pet.
Okay, but when she goes to the restaurant at the end of the movie, she should not bring a crab to kitchen full of people that don't know that that crab
full
is like their
Frenchman.
That Zutolo, I have found you. Like they not bring a crab to someplace that it's definitely going to get killed and made into food.
Well, the sous chef is like feeding it. It's like on his shoulder basically at that point.
Not till the end, because like up until that point, he's like, les poissons. Hee hee hee.
God. I did think at one point she was going to have the crab like in her pocket or something, and this was just going to be like a proto crabatouille or something. But it wasn't. It wasn't that.
It was not that. Anyway, so they talk about how it's like weird stuff's been happening. They both had that shared hallucination. She's cutting a peach open and they end up like making out and floating while he's also sucking on all of her fingers again.
Yeah, yeah. Which is like his go-to move, I guess.
I mean, I don't know, but she does say bippity boppity boo to get him down off the ceiling, and he freaks out and leaves.
Well, because she goes down first, and I said it that way on purpose, because they're both floating by the ceiling, and then you see her head start to like float downwards, and I was like, oh my God.
Past the front of his pants.
Yeah, is it about to get real graphic? Like, what's happening right now?
I got a finger you can suck.
I would totally have weightless sex.
Yes. Let's go to space. Hang on. Not you and me.
Wait.
Separately, Mikey. Let's us both go to space.
We covered this on Earth Girls Are Easy already.
Yeah. I would totally have sex in space too, Mikey. 100%.
So she says bibbidi bobbidi boo. He comes down and he literally like takes off. He's like, you're a witch. I'm running away. And as he does, she's like, a man's character is his destiny, which means nothing.
Yeah,
it is just words strung together.
It's like she read that fortune cookie and like just repeated it that day.
Your lucky numbers are 6, 5, 23, and 14. And also your character will be your destiny. Your destiny will be chaotic neutral.
Well, and he goes, is that a curse? And she goes, in your case, it is.
Yeah.
But you know that when Judith wrote your character is a man's destiny or whatever, she was like, yes, this script just came together.
Take that, Larry, or whoever she had in mind when she was writing it.
It was probably Mark, the director of this film, her husband.
Yeah, like one night he like didn't do dishes or something and she was just like, well, your character is your destiny. And he was like, what? And she was like, nothing. So we cut to she's in the restaurant talking to her sous chef. And she's like, yeah, we started floating. And he was like, floating? Weird. Continue. Like, he just is completely unfazed by them floating.
Because he's used to her delusions.
Yeah. Cool. Anyway.
This is just a paycheck.
Yeah. My favorite is that during this scene, we get crab reaction shots.
I love that the crab gets more screen time than most of the supporting cast and has zero lines.
The crab has more screen time than her aunt. Hardcore.
It's true. That is true.
But this is where we find out that she has a review in the paper and a food critic came to her restaurant and said the food was amazing.
Yes.
So we cut to the department store where Tom is like, keep all the windows closed. She's a witch. And you're like, dude. But Patricia Clarkson lets her in through the door and is like, you must be Amanda. The eclairs are amazing. As that's happening, the chef, Valderon, for his fancy restaurant, quits.
Yeah.
And runs in and throws knives at them. Now, the knives he throws, they are a Wusthof lower level brand where the handles are plastic and they don't have a full tang. Which you would never use them in a professional kitchen. Like, it is absurd to even consider.
No, you always got to go full tang.
You do have to go full tang. If you're looking for good knives, you've got to go full tang. But they're also too, like, they're not balanced. They're the knife set that you buy in college. Like, that's what it is. It's they usually sell them at, like, Target, you know, or whatever.
They bought him, like, a $35 knife set for a French professional chef. Yeah, that's terrible.
They're usually on sale on Black Friday for, like, $69. And the rest of the year, they're, like, $99. But for a whole set. So like they're not high quality knives, and you can see as he throws them to the point where I was like, well, you guys kind of had this coming.
Yeah, this is on you.
It's not like, because Wusthof makes really good knives. These are not them. This is their lowest level that they sell.
Fair enough.
And you can tell from the handles. But anyway, yeah. So they basically, he stomps out and they agree that Amanda will cook for the restaurant. And there's a scene that's like 5.5 minutes long of the four of them just arguing into each other's faces where you can't discern anyone's dialogue.
And Paige, all of that is one take. I was so blown away. Yes. That it was just one solid take. It was so funny to me.
With no cuts away, no reverse shots, no two shots, no nothing, just a four shot of them arguing into each other's faces.
And everyone is like talking over everybody else. And it is
right.
Bonkers that they were like, all right, let's focus on SMG this take, you know, and then cut those right. together of like everyone's close ups and wide shots. None of that. The director was like, all right, look, we got it once. We got to move on. We're shooting this whole movie in a weekend. Let's do it.
Right.
It does kind of seem like they shot it over like 3 days.
Yeah.
Now, this is the same scene where she's like, you think I'm a witch? And he says, if the broom fits, ride it, which is
yeah.
bonkers.
Oh, yeah.
But regardless, he gets kind of outvoted because the Jonathan, the grandson, and Patricia Clarkson's character have both had the eclairs and they're like, she's going to cook. Don't worry about it. So we cut to her, I think later that night, having looked at the kitchen, and she kind of runs into him in the hallway and he's like, do you have everything you need? And she's like, I'm going to do the peach. Well, whatever. You don't need to know.
I'm
going to
do the peach fart surprise.
So we cut to, she has kind of put up a sign at her restaurant that they're closed Friday to Saturday for a private event. They get to the new restaurant. She forgot her earrings. And for a hot second, I was like, has this been tied to the earrings the entire time? Because we only talked about them once.
Yeah, I think the earrings were like a red herring for her gift, you know?
Yeah.
Because the real power is...
the crabs?
Herself or the crab?
No, it's the
crab.
There's
not really an ending, so we never know.
No, they point out that it's the crab. She brings the crab with her and it still works. It's the crab.
Has to be the crab.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she introduces herself to the staff. She did bring the crab. And then some bitch ass French sous chef is just like, why don't you just let me cook? Clearly, all your friends are crabs. Yeah. You didn't even bring earrings. You are not fit to cook in this fancy restaurant.
Now, granted, he's not wrong.
I think he's being pretentious.
But even a broken Frenchman is right twice a day.
Yeah. Anyway, the crab attacks him, and I'm just like, good job, crab mama. You got it.
Well, the crab just, like, he pokes at the crab. The crab's gonna, like, chomp at you.
Yeah, it's an intimidation crab, but also an inspiration crab.
It can be both.
It can
crabs
be both.
Crabs can be anything.
So, meanwhile, we cut upstairs where Tom is trying to get dressed but forgot his pants and has to go put them back on. We cut back to the kitchen and she goes to put truffles in one of the main dishes and they reveal that Valderon, the chef, took all the truffles.
Yeah.
So she has to rearrange the menu.
Yeah, and this is when she decides to do figs instead of whatever she was going to use the truffles for, right?
Right. And I mean, she's lucky they just had ingredients, whatever. Anyway, her sous chef gives her this long basketball analogy that made no sense to me, but I'm sure made sense to other people and that's good for them.
Yeah, I'm sure someone got it.
Yeah, she reveals that she's been able to speak French this entire time.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
I love this so much because she says to the French guy, hey, Frenchie, who you think I didn't speak French? I was like, am I Frenchie? Because I didn't think she spoke French. This is the first time she's ever done it.
It just cuts away to Frenchie from Greece like, oh, go on, you can do it. Anyway, so... she rearranges the menu. She calls an audible, pivots, and everyone loves the food. And they're just like, this food is the perfect poem I never wrote. It is a symphony of joy. Like, it's real over the top.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
It's insane. We get a bunch of shots of what we in the food industry call hands and pans, where it's a shot from above with hands working with food.
Yeah, literally hands in pans.
Hands in pans, yeah. And we cut back out to the dining room where everyone is crying, tears of joy. Jonathan, the grandson who had the dream about his grandfather being in his shoe, is like clutching his shoe and sobbing.
Yes.
And then like showing it to other people.
Do you see my granddad?
No.
I see shoe people. I see them everywhere.
He's got the shoe shine.
the shoeing.
Oh, Mikey, that's amazing.
Some people just shine shoes. Yeah.
But really, it's a weird scene.
It's super weird. And it's all because she cried into one of the sauces. Anyway. So she's like, I ruined everything. And they're like, no, we love the food. We're crying because we love it. And her aunt is like, feed them. And I'm like, what is happening? What's happening? They're stunned into silence. And then she has her final course where she does the flower thing with the peaches. Now, this is the first time we have seen the peach flower dish in action.
Yeah.
Because, like, she plates them and we start to see fog. And then we get a close up of one of the peaches that literally just, like, farts vanilla fog into the air. And I lost my fucking mind.
I literally was laughing so vigorously, but silently. I was just shaking, like laughing so hard. I was not even making a sound.
So the last girl who DM'd me that she loved this movie is a girl I went to high school with who was a chef for a long time.
If like, I was a chef, I'd be super mad at this movie. Anyway, so the peaches fart all over the room, filling it with peach fart fog. And she goes to kind of leave because that was her last course.
Right.
But she has like flashbacks to other parts of the movie with the floating kissed and just B-roll, basically. And then we get the shot of like him chasing her down through the store. And as Todd mentioned, multiple times they're in the same place. Not at the same time.
Did
like,
he eat the food that night?
No, he did not.
He did not eat the food.
That's right, because she asked him, like, are you high on my food or do you really love me, right? Does that, yeah. Is that coming up?
Did I poison you with LSD or not?
Were you huffing peach farts?
Someone else just DM'd me that they love Simply Irresistible.
This movie is terrible.
That's three during the recording, right?
During the recording.
We cut to those people at home and they're just like inhaling peaches. Just like,
they're just like lighting a peach under a spoon.
God damn, I said god damn.
I did once in college see a person turn a peach into a bong. So like maybe that's what they're inhaling.
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway. It's got to be stronger than marijuana, man. Like,
no, it's straight up LSD for sure. Yeah.
So she leaves and gets in a cab. He sees her from the window and throws a paper airplane that perfectly goes through the cab window into her lap.
Which makes her change her mind?
I guess he didn't write anything on it either. It's not a note. It's just a piece of paper. He's like, paper's the first anniversary gift. It's been 2.5 weeks. So she comes back and he's like pulled out a dress for her to wear to the restaurant. And so she takes it, or at least she leaves the empty mannequin. He goes back to the restaurant. We cut to the kitchen where the French sous chef smells the peach fart by cutting open the peach and then very sexually fingers that peach and then feeds the crab some of the peach fart cream.
Because yeah,
he like, oh my he went God. Like, yeah, come hither does. Into that peach. It's
the French like sous chef is straight up fucking the mom crab at the end of this movie.
Bro, that's so, I don't even know how you would fuck a crab.
Ask Frenchie, man.
Carefully. Carefully. The pinchers.
That's trust, baby.
Yeah, consensually.
It's that C grip, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just picturing a crab giving someone a claw job. Just like
I had a claw job once in high school. Do not recommend.
Right after you ate dirt that one time.
Just call me Crawl Daddy.
I won't.
I will.
when it comes to me and Crawl Daddy, man, you got to keep them separated. That is a deep cut league joke. Thank you. Anyway, so he goes to the party. He goes to the party. She's there. There's the one cool shot in this entire movie, which is those set up mirrors so that like it looks cool. But then we immediately move away from it.
Yeah. It was an accident.
She said that she had to stop for shoes. And he's like, you're so beautiful. And he, you know, kisses her. He says, I love you. And they end up floating in the middle of a restaurant full of people who can fucking see them.
Now, time out. If you at home are confused of why they have fallen in love after having not even three conversations, you are correct. That is exactly what happens in this film. They never talk or have chemistry.
Not to mention, there is a crab being that has control over her cooking ability.
And it's currently being boned down by a French sous chef.
Yeah, who first fingered a peach. Peaches that were farting magical fog all over everyone to make them fall in love.
So unpause. Now they are floating in the dining room and everyone can see them flying.
Yeah.
And it's not make-believe. They're really flying in the restaurant.
They're really flying. And we cut to the crab in a tuxedo just for one reverse, like one reaction shot. And then we cut back to them floating.
And that's the movie. Yeah. So having seen the movie, having talked about the movie, what do you guys think about Simply Irresistible?
Instant classic.
He's fucking nuts.
I love this movie so much. It is terrible, but it's like the kind of terrible where you're like, holy shit, I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's here's the thing. It's not paced crazy, so it's not a slog to get through. I would absolutely have people over and be like, we're going to watch this bonkers nonsense. Like,
yeah,
like take some shots. Let's do it.
It cheered me up. It did everything a romantic comedy is supposed to do.
Except include romance. Yeah.
Yeah. I love those people love those eclairs. Okay, that's the only romance you need.
It made me want eclairs.
Oof, I would literally go down on some eclairs right now.
And peaches. I love peaches.
I'm not a huge peach fan.
I am a huge peach fan.
My peaches always end up farting.
You're like, oh, asparagus.
Oh, all right, Paige. Do you have some fun facts for us?
I do. There's very few fun facts about this movie, but there are a bunch of lists of mistakes from this movie, so I've included those as well.
What? There are mistakes in this movie?
This movie's perfect.
I agree with Mikey.
Now, I will say that if they're doing 100 dinners a night in order to make their rent, then that is, let's see, they have, let's call it 5 nights a week. Let's say that they have, that they are closed some nights, especially because she's doing that special event. That means they only have 20 or so, 2,000 dinners to make up that 5,000 and then whatever they live on after that.
Yeah.
So that means they have to charge like $20 to $30 a plate. If you were curious, which is pretty standard.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty doable, I suppose.
It's not crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So into some other fun facts. So Sarah Michelle Gellar has stated that this was one of her least favorite films she's ever been in.
Oh, really? Imagine that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe it.
I know. So several scenes in the movie are actually shot inside the Henri Bendel department store. So as not to disrupt normal business, they basically brought in all of their equipment after close and would shoot all night.
Oh, wow.
So almost all of this movie is done in night shoots, which is brutal.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Can you guess what the original title for this movie was?
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I hope it's a pun.
Ghost Stepdad.
It is not Ghost Stepdad. Mikey, do you want to take a stab at it?
I want to say Emotional Eater.
No, that's also great. It was
that.
Vanilla Fog.
Yeah, that is nuts.
And this was the last movie Gene Siskel of Siskel and Ebert fame reviewed before his death.
Oh,
and I'm not saying
him.
The Vanilla Fog killed him, but I think that crab had a bone to pick with him after giving it a thumbs down.
A shell
to pick with him. So as I mentioned, the lead was supposed to be middle age, but because Buffy the Vampire Slayer was super popular at the time, the studio made an executive decision to make it Sarah Michelle Gellar. The director actually wanted Sarah Jessica Parker. I don't think that would have made it better.
No, it wouldn't have. I mean, no. Sarah Jessica Parker is great, but no. And I'm surprised she didn't just say nay to this script.
Yeah.
Stop, guys. I'm trying to be professional.
Oh, no, all right.
Well, Mikey, she's your type.
Don't talk about my type. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
So in the final scene where Amanda says, "You mean when I had my hands up your pants?" His line is, "Oh, yeah," but he's currently kissing her at the time, so it's completely ADR. And then literally, like, seconds later, he also says, "I love kissing you," also while kissing her,
yeah,
which is also ADR.
I've told a girl I love kissing her while kissing her. It vibrates the bones so they can hear it.
I'm concerned. So the vanilla orchids that they use in the film are not really vanilla orchids. They were orange and red, but vanilla orchids are yellow. And like I said, you can use the flowers. It just doesn't add a lot of flavor. You really have to like harvest and roast the beans, which can take 1 to 3 years. and they grow like tall. So it's not really realistic in the way that the movie depicts it. After Amanda Peet is done throwing all the plates in the restaurant, she leaves without taking her purse, which is sitting on the floor next to the table. And those are your fun facts.
Well, thank you for those amazing fun facts. Okay, let's talk some box office. Now, this movie came out in 1999. What do you think the production budget for Simply Irresistible was?
It can't be more than $10 million.
Okay.
No, I think it might be because it's Sarah Michelle Gellar. I think it's 15.
So the production budget was $6 million.
Okay.
Okay.
But if you adjust for inflation, that's roughly $9.8 million. So you're probably right around there, right? This movie came out on February 5th, 1999. So just
the Valentine's Day movie.
For Valentine's Day. Exactly.
God, if you saw this on Valentine's Day.
if a girl took me to see a movie on Valentine's Day and it was somewhere like this kind of bonkers, I'd be so happy.
Me too. I'd be on board for that relationship forever.
I feel like I would have won the luck of the draw at that point because I would have been like, this could have been actually romantic, but instead it was fun.
Yeah. Okay. This movie in its opening weekend was ninth in the release, right? It was beat by movies like Payback, another movie Sarah Michelle Gellar was in, She's All That, was number two. Patch Adams was number three. Varsity Blues was number four. And Saving Private Ryan was number five and had been in the theater for 29 weeks.
That's because Saving Private Ryan is really good.
No, it is. Yeah, it was just about to pass $200 million in the theater. Saving Private Ryan was. Not this movie. So this movie was ninth. What do you think it made in its opening weekend?
$2 million?
I think that's a stretch. I'm going to go $1 million.
Mikey's closer. It's actually $2.2 million in its opening weekend. The next weekend was February 12th, and that weekend it was, oh shit, hang on, I can't even find it.
Did it go up or down? I think it went up.
that weekend it was 29th in the theater. And it was, okay, so the first week it was out, it was in 1358 theaters, right? Its second weekend out, it was in 1353. It pulled in $2.2 million in its first weekend out, and it was only in, what is that, five less theaters, and didn't even make $1 million. It made $997,000.
That is brutal.
The next weekend, it dropped to 37th in the theaters and only brought in $142,000.
How was there 37 movies out in theaters then?
Yeah. Oh, and its theater count dropped from like 1,300 to 300.
Oh my gosh.
And then
God.
February 26th.
Oh, this is a disaster.
Yeah. February 26th, it was 51st in the theaters and was only in 102 theaters and made $41,000. So if you're good at math, you can probably tell me what it made in its first month in the theaters. But let's just go ahead and talk about total box office. So total domestic box office, what do you think it made?
Oh, my God. I'm going to say $4 million.
Okay, Mikey, what do you think?
Five?
You guys are splitting it. Paige is a little bit closer. It was $4.4 million. It was actually $4.398 million. But if you adjust for inflation, that's roughly 7.2, but still less than the budget. Like, this didn't make money and shouldn't have. But I love this movie. But that is your box office. So do you guys think they're still together?
That's what I was going to ask.
I mean, 100%. I think it depends on how long that crab lives.
Yeah. So I think they're still together until they're together for about 6-7 years. She starts to hate him and slowly poisons him to death without realizing she's doing it.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I think they made it.
These two crazy kids are going to figure it out.
See how strong their love is after a week? They're floating, okay?
Oh, God.
So first off, they probably got murdered soon after for being witches. So they did make it until their deaths.
All right. You know what? That's fair. I didn't think about that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this week, Mikey made us watch Simply Irresistible. Paige, what are you making us watch next week?
Next week, I really needed a palate cleanser after Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
And there was a movie that I saw not too long ago that just captured my heart. And I want to share it with as many people as possible.
Oh.
So we're going to be watching Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar.
Amazing. Okay, so you've been talking about this movie on and off the podcast for like 3 weeks. And you made me watch a dance number from it featuring the guy from 50 Shades of Grey. So I cannot wait to watch this movie.
In fact, I would love to watch that dance number again while we are still on the Zoom call, while we're uploading our audio, if you would not mind.
Absolutely. So anyway, that means your homework is to watch Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. Or how do they actually say it, Paige?
Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then tune in for next week's episode on that movie.
Yes.
So, Mikey, do you have a review for us to read?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I don't.
So why don't you look up a review? And while you're looking up a review, I'll tell them how they can have their review run on the podcast. And that is simply to leave us a 5-star text review, and we'll have Mikey read it for you.
Evie says,
is that their name?
Yeah, shut up. Says 2 words, hairspray. That's the whole review.
I mean, that's a musical, right?
It is a musical. It is a love story.
Oh.
About a chubby girl who can dance and has a bright outlook on life and fights racism.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. It literally is a musical romantic comedy. I'm on board for all that.
Now, it does have James Marsden in it, Todd's personal friend.
I am close personal friends with James Marsden in so much as that he once spoke to me at an airport. And honestly, was very, very kind. He's a very, very nice man. Hey, Evie, thank you so much for that awesome 5-star review. And we will definitely consider doing Hairspray. It sounds like something I'd really enjoy.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you like this power thruple that we have here on this podcast, make sure to check out our other podcast, The Horror Virgin. And that is the only other podcast that Mikey and I are on. But Paige gets around and she is on 2 other podcasts, Black Card Rehab and Cult Podcast. So guys, definitely check out those because they're amazing. If you want to follow us on social, we are at Romancing the Pod Show.
Yes.
On Instagram. And we are at something else on Twitter who I just have never taken the time to learn.
It's just Romancing Pod Show because they have a character limit and it's show, S-H-O, like Showtime.
So guys, check that out as well. And if you want to follow us all individually, Paige is at Rampage Wesley everywhere, including TikTok, except for Twitter, where she is at Paige Wesley. Mikey is at mrandolph24, and I am at Todd J. Awesome everywhere. And guys, we got a P.O. box. So if you want to send us some love letters or whatever you might send to a P.O. box, it's actually not a P.O. box. It's like a regular street address. It's pretty awesome. It's 6688 Nolensville Road, number 108-34, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. So send us some stuff.
Yeah.
That's going to be it for us, you guys. I'm Paige.
I'm Mikey.
And I'm Todd.
And you complete us.
To crab-pletion.
Hot butter, baby!
We all float up here in the restaurant?
I really wanted you to say, you're my eclair now.
You're my eclair now. You're my eclairowin.
I'm out. I can't do anything more.
Bye. Pan and hand nerds.